Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Sun First Solar. Others promise the moon, they deliver the sun. We're also brought to you by Rose's Cafe, a favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood of San Francisco for the past 20 years. Today's guest is Ray Woodson, who you can hear these days on 95.7 The Game, and he'll be my co-host on Dubs OT, the Warriors podcast, starting on October the 17th. But for today, we're talking Giants baseball. Well, Ray, the Dodgers came into San Francisco, and they were the team struggling, and it was funny to kind of hear the Dodgers media talk about it. I was hanging out in the Dodgers dugout the other day, and they couldn't stop talking about this 11-game losing streak and how bad it was, and it sounded like, you know, Giants media the entire season, and maybe the Giants helped out the Dodgers quite a bit by losing those last two games, because now the Dodgers have their confidence back, and the Giants, they couldn't have played any worse, I think, than they did in the last game of the series on Wednesday. I mean, they made all kinds of mistakes in that game. They're kind of reverting back to what they've been doing a lot during this season, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, and you know, it's funny. We go game after game. Oh, this sums up the 2017 season. Oh, no, this is rock bottom. Oh, no, this sums up the season. I'm going to go with last night. I think that's your winner. Wednesday night, it was a system-wide breakdown, and we've seen it a few times now. You know, when your veteran right fielder has a ball drop in between him and the second baseman, then, you know, to Hunter Pence's credit, he took ownage of it afterwards, but it doesn't make it really that much better. It's not just that they've had injuries. It's not just that their starting pitching has been so sporadic and their lineup has been inept, but the mistakes, and you see them from young players and you see them from veteran players at this point of the year. And the image that stuck with me last night, I'm sure with a lot of people, was Eli Whiteside letting it rip, Barilla, you know, just tearing into somebody, you know, in the dugout. I don't know what it was, but I don't blame them for getting mad. Somebody's got to get mad at this point. You get kind of beaten down after a long season. I get that. And it's not Bruce Bochy's style. You know, he's pretty even keel. Although I sense that, you know, when the doors are closed, he's probably a little more animated. But at this point, when you see both the young players and the veteran players making those kind of mistakes on the base paths in the field, and their outfield defense, which has been so bad, has gotten even worse, and they're getting no production on top of that, outside of maybe a little hot streak or two from Span. That's, again, points up what I think the number one job for them is to remake that outfield. It can't be the same next year. And then you've got to do something with the bullpen. I think Crick and Maranta are making some pretty strong arguments of late why they should stick around in 2018, and we'll see more in spring training. That's what you're looking for, somebody to step up and play the game the way it's supposed to be played. That's up to the Giants' standard, a team that won three championships this decade. And to see how far it's fallen, it's pretty sad. And you talked about the Dodgers, you know, losing 11 in a row, and there's a lot of reasons why it's happened for them. Certainly the Giants were just what the doctor ordered, but, you know, the Giants have actually played the Dodgers pretty well. That's the one team that's gotten the best out of the Dodgers this year, and I think Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, mentioned that the other day. So it just kind of came crashing down on Wednesday night at AT&T Park. And the thing for the Dodgers is they got a little of their confidence back. They stopped the bleeding, and they got a good start from Yu Darvish, which they haven't been getting. And maybe it was because of the lineup he faced, but that's got to give them a little bit of confidence going forward, too.
We'll have more with Ray Woodson in just a moment. We all know that solar systems make financial sense and environmental sense, and when it comes to choosing the best installation crew in the business, Sun First Solar should be your first choice. Sun First Solar has provided solar excellence since 1984. They are SunPower Elite Commercial and Elite Residential installers with a reputation for technical excellence, innovative design, fair pricing, excellent customer service, and end-to-end quality and competence. Sun First Solar is a family business devoted to treating their employees, customers, the community, and the environment with respect and they are devoted to renewable energy and sustainability throughout the Bay Area. There is no roof or project that is too complicated. Sun First has successfully installed solar on Spanish tile roofs, metal roofs, and very steep roofs. They also have extensive experience in solar ground mounts and solar pool heating. Competitive pricing, expert consultation, and the best warranty. Go local and get your SunPower solar system from Sun First Solar today. Call Sun First Solar at 415-458-5870. That's 415-458-5870. I just think it's mind-boggling, Ray, that you have a right fielder who, you know, he's a veteran, and he's been playing with Panic and even Tomlinson for a while, yep, that those balls could drop in, because you would think that he's going to yell loud enough. Those are his balls. That's not the second baseman's ball. He's going to yell loud enough that they would know, okay, I'm coming in, I'm going to catch it. To see those balls drop, I mean, it just didn't look like Major League Baseball.
Well, you see it two nights in a row.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got it fresh in your mind from the night before, and it happens again, albeit with a different second baseman. But these guys have played together for a while. This stuff shouldn't be happening. And it makes you wonder at this point of the year how mentally engaged they are anyway. When you see mistakes like that, when you see the mistakes that you saw running into a double play on the base paths and things like that, Jared Parker getting picked off on a fly ball to the outfield coming from first base, that can't happen. You know, so it's just a bunch of different things going on here. And again, it's the veteran players and it is the young players. And so I think that's what you have to ask with the veteran players is, you know, what's going on that, you know, they're at the point where they're making those kind of mistakes. You know, it's bad enough when they're not performing. You can almost understand that as age takes its toll. But when the mental mistakes happen, it's a screaming siren.
My take on the Eli Whiteside getting upset in the dugout is that why is it Eli Whiteside, a bullpen catcher? I mean, it's got to be somebody on the active roster. I mean, I understand, you know, he cares a lot, but you got to have somebody who's on the active roster, a leader. It just seems like they don't have that. I mean, Hunter Pence has always been sort of the emotional leader, but
right,
they don't have a guy who is going to chew people out. I mean, you know, Buster Posey is known as a leader on the team, but I cannot imagine, unless behind closed doors he's a completely different human being, that he's the guy that's chewing people out. I mean, there's got to be somebody that kind of disturbs the situation in there. It seems like they don't have that guy.
Well, no, and you mentioned Pence, and he can't be squawking at anybody right now.
No.
It would look silly for him to try to whip up the troops. Maybe Eli Whiteside was even saying, are you kidding me? I've got to do this?
You know? Right.
I mean, it's come to that point, and he probably felt like, well, somebody's got to say something here. You know, maybe it's not going to make a difference in our fortunes, where we are in the standings, but it's just how you present yourself. And I believe it was national TV on that game, too. So it was an embarrassment all around, and, you know, Eli Whiteside's a pretty even-keeled guy. He is. But, you know, he's been around the game a long time, and he's one of those guys who had to scrap and fight to get to the major leagues and get a ring. And I respect those stories as much as any. Plus, he caught my first pitch when I did that about 10 years ago at AT&T Park, so he's always going to have a soft spot in my heart. But, yeah, I mean, he's probably thinking, are you kidding me? I mean, this dugout is a morgue. We've got to do something here. And I think that is part of the problem in that was pointed out in the Ken Rosenthal article earlier in the year that, you know, the personalities are different now. And this is what happens when you change over year to year. Chemistry may not be the issue, but at the same time, it's not clicking. The fire isn't quite there. And, you know, that'll happen when your ace beats it on a dirt bike in April. That kind of takes the starch out of you right there. But beyond that, it's a personality mix, too. And, you know, the Giants have always been very good about that, Joe, you know, about the kind of people they have. They have quality people, usually, in that clubhouse. And, you know, I think part of the reason they brought Sandoval back is to get some energy in there once again. But that only goes so far.
You know, you're trying to use this time in September to figure things out. And we'll talk about Sandoval and the younger guys, but I'm just really baffled about Matt Moore still the whole season. I don't get it. I don't understand why this guy is 5-14 with an ERA of 5.39 when he has the stuff that he has. It's just weird to me that all of a sudden he'll throw one right down the middle to Cody Bellinger. And granted, Bellinger, yep, has 37 homers. He's going to hit a lot of homers, but that was right there in his wheelhouse. And he just makes these mistakes that, you know, they just don't make sense to me. It kind of defies what he has as far as stuff. He throws 95 miles an hour. He's got a good breaking ball, changeup, all that stuff, but he just misses in the wrong spots.
Yeah, I was reading last month that his velocity's down a little bit. I don't know if that's still the case, but still, the stuff is there. And so it is baffling, but, you know, it's a pattern that we've seen with him. Even he said it last night. He threw too much of a cookie to Bellinger with a base open, and he hit it out in the Bonds territory. I mean, that was a splash hit out in a place that, you know, big boys hit it. And Bellinger got every ounce of his body into that pitch. And what happens, I think, with Moore is he gets predictable to a zone. I think the scouting report indicates that. Look for mistakes with him, and then he makes the mistakes, and he starts nibbling. He starts going out of the zone. He starts losing it, and it doesn't take much to get him off the rails. When he's going good, you know, and he's last couple of months he's had a few more good starts, you start thinking, oh, okay, he's starting to figure it out. Maybe it's something we can work with. And then he takes a step back. Then he has another good start. Then he takes a step back. In his defense on the Wednesday night game, I mean, his defense let him down too. There's no doubt about that. And there was the ball that dropped in, but also Pence had one go over his head that I'm sure in younger days he's got a better chance of getting to. But, yeah, it's a combination of things with Moore, and when the defense isn't working for you, no margin of error whatsoever with him. And that's the problem. It's been a pattern. It's been a cycle. And the Giants have to be asking themselves, even with what seems to be a reasonable $9 million option for next year, do we want to go forward with this guy? Now, I think it's a serious question you have to ask. There are reasons to say, yeah, you can, because the stuff you mentioned is there, and the contract isn't terrible, and the fact of the matter is the politics say, hey, you traded a popular player away for him, so you might want to give him a little more time. And the guy's still in his 20s. You know, so you would think that this is a guy that you could redeem, but I don't know. I don't know if the Giants know. I don't know if Matt Moore knows at this point.
Yeah, he's definitely not showing much in the month of September to say, okay. I mean, he had a few good starts there, but he's just not, you know, proving that I've got to be on this roster next year. And I think that's the case with Pablo Sandoval. And here on Inside China Basin the other day, he was our guest, and he talked about how much he loves the game. He said, nothing can beat me. 0-39 is not going to bother me. Yeah, I'm glad that he said that, because, you know, you don't want it to bother you. But when you're having a season like this, it has to eat at you. And the confidence just, it isn't there. And especially because, you know, the thing about him, Ray, is that, yeah, he hit some balls that, you know, they caught, or the defense was in the right spot. But overall, he's not smoking the ball. He's not hitting hard line drives. And that's going to be a problem if he's going to, you know, try to improve the average or make this team as the starting third baseman next year.
Well, this is the kind of thing you can do 0-39 when you're on a 100 loss team.
Right.
You're not going to get that chance, right?
Right.
But they're rolling out here because, you know, they've had injuries, Arroyo's down, and they traded Nunez, and Ryder Jones has been in and out of the lineup, and he was a late scratch, I guess, in the last game. But this is a total laboratory experiment now with Pablo Sandoval, and he's always going to put up a good front, sure. He's going to say, hey, this isn't going to keep me down. I'm going to keep playing. I love the game. There are those who would question his love for the game before when he was showing up in the physical condition he was. He's in better shape now, but the skills have declined. Clearly, they have. And you could say, okay, he squared up a few balls during that 0-39. So what are we talking about, 5-39?
You know, right.
So it's still not all that great. And he's not hitting with a whole lot of power. You know, he's going to get some more games, but I imagine they're going to try to work in the younger players at this point. But I don't see where he's made an argument to come back next year.
No. I mean, he does. I will say that I was impressed with how genuine he was about how much he loves the game and how much, you know, he's really playing for that more than anything. I mean, he already made his money. He could have just packed it up and said, you know what, I've had it. I'm not working. This is not working. I'm not playing the way I want to play. But he didn't. He wants to play. But I just don't see it happening. I don't know, Ray. It would have to be a real surprise for him to come back and have enough to be a starting player.
Well, first of all, he's not even hitting from one side of the plate.
Right, right.
So that reduces his usefulness somewhat. And he's in his 30s. And sure, it's a low-risk contract, but low reward, too, with him. So, this is the time you give him a shot to see what he can do. And I'm not seeing it. That's the bottom line here. I'd like to go back and get Nunez if I could. Although, you know, the way he's played with Boston, he's going to get some offers, I'd imagine, in the offseason, make himself a little money, and good for him. But that's a guy I wouldn't mind having back until Christian Arroyo is ready. And the bottom line is, you know, the Arroyo injury was a setback for him and for the organization trying to evaluate him. And that's one of the many just maddening things about this year. In a year where you're going to lose 100 games, this is the time you can evaluate your young players. And I think we talked about this in a previous podcast. They haven't even been able to do that because those guys have been hurt. Just right on down the line, they can't evaluate these guys. And now at the end of the year when Beattie and Arroyo shouldn't be playing, they're down for the count. So it makes it tough to say you're going to move forward and it's just a few tweaks in the lineup when you're going into 2018 and you've got so many question marks.
We'll continue the conversation with Ray Woodson right after this.
Right about the time when AT&T Park had groundbreaking ceremonies in the late 90s, San Francisco was celebrating the opening of Roses Cafe at 2298 Union Street. Now, 20 years later, Roses continues to provide a warm, friendly atmosphere, and you can still count on great food. Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Roses bakes all of their own pastries and bread. Open 7 days a week, they serve breakfast, lunch, dinner, and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Check out their menu and hours at www.rosescafesf.com. The next time you're driving to or from AT&T Park, stop by Roses Cafe in Cal Hollow at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
I wonder about, are you going to go spend money on some free agents when you don't even feel like you're close? And, you know, I mean, publicly, I guess the Giants are saying, oh, yeah, you know, we just need a few tweaks, like you said. But I don't know that they're close enough. And I don't know about some of these young guys even opening eyes. Have you had any impression that anybody did anything other than say, okay, well, maybe. Like you said, Crick, okay, he's been pretty good. But, you know, maybe he'll be all right. Maranta, maybe he'll help this team. Jared Parker, maybe, you know, he shows the flash of the power, but not as much power, really, since he came back. He's using the whole field a little bit more, but still striking out a lot. I don't know that there's any player, you know, that we've seen that's healthy, one out of the young guys, that you're going to say, okay, definitely, he's going to be in there next year. You know we can count on him.
No, you can't. And that's part of the problem here. There's nobody that's a no-doubter talent that you can say, oh, yeah, we can plug him into the lineup. He's going to be an impact player. There are guys you can say, okay, they did a good job, like Austin Slater. Then he gets hurt. You know, Crick and Maranta, I mean, they've had some nice appearances here at the end of the year, but you don't know for sure about them. I think Maranta has the look of a guy who's going to get major league hitters out. I mean, that slider he was throwing last night was pretty filthy. So, you know, if he can keep that up, I think he's going to have a spot in the bullpen next year. But you don't know about Beattie. You don't know about Arroyo after the injury. I saw some things, despite the numbers from Arroyo, that told me, yeah, this is the guy that they think they can go for with long-term. But you don't know if that's 2018 for sure in his development. It might be 2019, 2020. Some guys, it takes a few years. You know, Manny Machado came up, and he was an impact player right away. Nolan Arenado, it didn't take him long, but they're exceptional players. I wouldn't say Arroyo is exceptional, but I think he'd be a pretty good major league player. But those aren't the kind of guys that necessarily foster a quick turnaround, right?
Yeah.
So it may be a buildup with some of these guys, but you don't see where they're those huge impact guys unless, of course, you go out and trade for Stanton.
You know, around baseball, we're seeing a couple things that we just don't normally see, the Dodgers and the Indians. Let's start with the Dodgers because we just talked about how the Giants played them in the three-game series. And, you know, that's just bizarre. I mean, to have the best record in baseball, to be whatever they were, what was it, a 52-9 stretch, and then to lose 11 in a row and whatever, 15 out of 16 and just look terrible, like a team that shouldn't even be in the playoffs, that's strange to me. I mean, you don't even know what to think about that team going into the postseason.
Yeah, there are a lot of things going on there. Some of that is math. You know, they were playing at such a hot pace that they were bound to cool down a little bit. Some of that was the schedule. It got a little tougher for them. Some of it is the calendar. You're getting later in the year, and, you know, you kind of wear down mentally and physically. It happens to everyone. Some of this is regressing to the mean. I mean, Chris Taylor has been a journeyman guy, and he's been incredible for them this year. Bound to cool off a little bit. You had a rookie, a Bellinger, who got off to a torrid start and cooled down a little bit. And, you know, he certainly didn't cool down Wednesday night when he hit one into the drink. And you see the talent that is there. I think Justin Turner has been smiled upon by the Babbitt gods. You know, he's had some not necessarily hard-hit balls come in, but he's certainly been a real good middle-of-the-order hitter for them. And then, you know, so he started regressing to the mean a little bit. They had some injuries, for sure, you know, and they had to get by with Kershaw for a little bit. The starting pitching has not been good for them at all. Then they go out and get Darvish, and he has a 5.4 ERA until he faced the Giants. And so that was sort of cratering, and their lineup had holes in it. So there was a whole bunch of things going on, and it happened at the same time. But lucky for them, they built up a cushion the size of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And they're going to be okay. They got an important series with the Nationals as far as overall record, right, coming up. And so taking 2 out of 3 from the Giants probably gave them a little bit of a wind at their back going into that series. But beyond that, I think a lot of this was inevitable for them. They weren't that good. They're very good, but they weren't that good. And, you know, I think if you're Dave Rogers just saying, okay, this is good, we were able to find a lot of our flaws at a time of the year when it wasn't going to kill us, right? Maybe we can identify some things we can address. But, you know, the thing about Darvish, how important he is, you know, it got him to be a number two starter in the playoffs to back up Kershaw, right?
So right.
They've got to be sure about him going into the postseason. I don't know if they're there yet.
Meanwhile, the entire baseball world is riveted by this Indians winning streak, which has reached 21 at the time of this podcast. And, Ray, I was fortunate enough. I was actually in Cleveland covering the Browns, and they had the Sunday night game. So after my assignment covering the Browns game for CBS, I went over to the game. I got a ticket. I was a fan and sat in there and watched them win their 18th in a row. And my impression of that team and even the fan base is that a lot of passion. It's awesome to watch right now. I mean, really led by Francisco Lindor, the way he plays the game. It's just so much fun to watch right now. I think everybody's sort of an Indians fan. What do you think?
I would say if you're in Cleveland, you have to be. That's quite a contrast, by the way, going from the Browns just blocked
right
up the street to that ballpark.
It was.
That team playing.
It really was.
I saw a stat when they had won 20 in a row during that time it took the Browns 86 games to win 20.
That's unbelievable.
It's during the Indians' 20-game winning streak, I think that was one of the best stats. But how good is Lindor?
Yeah.
My goodness. I mean, again, this points up, you know, with the Dodgers, with the Rockies, the Diamondbacks, a lot of these teams. You look at the Red Sox with a guy like Mookie Betts, Jackie Bradley Jr., young talent rules the game. And when they start coming into their own, it's really something to watch. And that's Lindor. And you look at Corey Kluber. I mean, they got some veterans sprinkled in for sure, but it's built around that young talent. And they're coming off an epic World Series last year, and for them, heartbreaking Game 7. But to be able to bounce back, and I felt they were going to win that division for sure, and they're running away with it now. But, you know, they've got the chops to go right back to the World Series.
They do. And, you know, the other thing is, like, the other night or Sunday night when Lindor broke his bat and then he borrowed his teammate's bat and then he hits a home run with it. That's the kind
yeah
of stuff that happens when you're having a great year, you're smiling
yep
and you're having fun. And it kind of goes back to what Matt Moore was talking about on Wednesday night, where you don't have fun when you're losing. I mean, this stinks. You know, nobody's really smiling and it's just a terrible atmosphere.
And it's September, right? It's mid-September.
Right.
So you're looking at that calendar now saying, all right, you know, I'm booking my cruise now. The heck with this. Even those that love baseball, they can't be loving this that much right now. So I think it does get reflected in the play. They're going to end up losing 100 games, I think, unless they have a late rush. And it'll be the worst Giants team since 85. It's the worst team that I've seen since I've been here, and that's 20 years. It might be the worst Giants team since they moved to San Francisco. I don't know. But, yeah, that's what happens. You know, it's a snowball effect either way. And we've seen the Giants when they've had the snowball going the other way, especially in the postseason. So that's why baseball, I mean, all sports, you know, we talk about physical attributes, but, man, what's going on between the ears? That is so important. And the collective confidence that Cleveland has right now is pretty powerful.
Well, look, we got another month until the Warriors get going, and we'll have our Warriors podcast. So at least we'll be talking about a
can't
team
wait
that is smiling pretty much every day, right?
Yeah, they stay healthy. They should be. It's going to be interesting, though, to see how the rest of the league is scrambled to keep up with them. And that West, once again, is no joke. So it's another scenario where the Warriors could have a worse record you know, they may not win as many games, but they'll be just as good, if not better, than last year, the way that some of these teams in the West, like Houston and Minnesota, beefed up. They're not going to be a lot of easy outs. So they're going to get a challenge every night, and that's what's going to make it so compelling. But we all know, if they play their best, nobody beats them. And it's a tremendous show to watch right now. It's, to me, the most beautiful basketball I've seen since, I don't know, going back to the 80s. And it's a different type of game right now, too. So we're witnessing a high point in the NBA and one of the greatest franchises in NBA history. It's going to be fun to cover.
We're looking forward to it. Mark it down on your calendar. I'm sure Warriors fans already have October 17th marked down, but mark that down also for our first podcast, and then we'll be podcasting every week throughout the season. Well, Ray, thanks a lot for talking some Giants here, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. So, you know, even talking baseball, it's okay. Even with a 100-loss team, there's always something you can talk about anyway. But, yeah, it'll be fun to see somebody do something competently, that's for sure.
That's Ray Woodson, and we'll hear from him throughout the fall with our Warriors Dubs OT podcast here on thesportsvirus.com. Join us again on Tuesday. We'll be at AT&T Park in San Francisco as the Giants take on the Colorado Rockies. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.